Welcome to Comics,
episode
253.
This week, we talk about
One Punch Man.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
I went to Target this morning to buy Force Awakens, and I was like, I'm gonna swing by the toy section, and they had a bunch of Finns and a bunch of that constable guy and this one flame trooper.
Yeah, he's in the new wave of figs, I think.
Yeah,
Ahsoka is supposed to be on shelves soon.
I did not see her.
Yeah, she's on Amazon for $120.
What?
Yeah, because she was on sale for all of about 30 minutes before she went out of stock. I mean, I'm sure they'll print more. It's just a matter of waiting.
Should we just talk about the entire season?
Let's start off talking about the first six, and then we can transition.
Okay.
Hey, did everybody watch all 12, or?
I did not.
I ended up watching all 12. I watched the 12th one today. How far did you get, Rach?
The first six.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's only talk about the first six, then.
Okay. You didn't feel unduly compelled to watch the rest?
My time has been obliterated by, Stardew Valley.
Yeah. Dude, no, that's an unfair argument. Valley, I have 55 hours in that game this week, and
well,
I've watched
apparently,
all 12.
So, speaking of video games, Mitch and Brandon are streaming The Division right now, and I decided to join their Twitch chat and just make fun of Mitch.
That's generally how things work.
I'm the only one in the chat, and Mitch isn't responding, so this is boring.
Yeah.
Well, what's his Twitch account?
Ted Mustard.
Ted Mustard. Mitch and Brandon, it looks like they're literally doing nothing.
Well, what? I can't find his Twitch account.
Are they commenting at all, or are they just sitting there?
I put it on mute.
Okay.
Because I was listening to you guys. So Mitch might be talking.
They linked it on Facebook.
You know, we should really have Mitch guest host someday. He's never been on the show.
He hasn't?
No.
I thought he has.
He used to do the intros for us, but he's never actually, like, been on an episode with us.
Oh, wait, didn't he do episode 200 with us when we had the party?
No,
didn't
I think...
Didn't he come? John was there.
I think that was Pingle and Nick.
Shelby.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever been on the show.
Mitch didn't come too? Oh, okay.
I'll find something. The thing is, we've already done an Iron Man series, but he's an Iron Man guy. But it's not like there's only those three Iron Man comics. What do you even read for that? Oh, we read Iron. Oh, we read The Alcoholic, Armor Wars,
yeah.
And Matt Fraction. Yeah, there's other stuff. We can find other stuff.
If we can't, then that's like really, really sad for Iron Man.
There's more to Tony Stark than alcoholism, probably.
Okay, turn off Mitch's chat because.
Oh, I just got in.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got in.
All right, I'm going to get on Twitch. Wait,
it looks
Twitch.
Like Brandon's is not going right now.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Brandon's is going.
Damn it. You know, if we had recorded this on Friday and this was happening, we could have just put us, like, watching their live stream as the podcast. That would have been a decent and strange April Fool's.
So this game is I have known nothing about The Division. What is the...
You go shoot guys.
And their tires, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. What the fuck tires, man? He's shooting every single tire. What is the point of this? That car has been in an accident. It's obviously not operational to begin with. Why are you shooting the tire? So wait, isn't Tom Clancy like a war game kind of thing? Like,
I don't think he had any hand in this. Like, they're just using his name.
On it.
Yeah, they're just using the name.
I tried
it's like
to...
It's like Madden's not any part of football anymore.
Yeah, that's true. So what is the premise of The Division?
You shoot people.
But like, why does it look like no? This looks like New York City, and nobody's outside. And like, it looks like it would be a zombie game, but there's no zombies.
I can hear Mitch mumbling.
Why did he kill that guy in the window? It was just some dude in his home.
He was shooting at him.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Oh, here. The Division takes place in mid-crisis Manhattan, an open world with destructive environments that are free for players to explore. The player's mission is to restore order by investigating the source of a virus.
Ah, investigating the source. Okay, so that explains why nobody's outside.
Well, they just it doesn't explain why he shot all the tires.
Yeah. This is really compelling content for our listeners. Oh, he's going to set up a tripod. Oh, he's mortar. No, what is he doing? Oh, it's a grenade. Oh, those are bad dudes. See, the problem for me with first-person shooters is I haven't finished Borderlands, and this just looks like a crappy Borderlands. It looks too realistic. Like, I'm not into realism in my games.
My problem with FPSs is they nauseate me, like, really badly.
See, like, if I wanted an open Professor world game...
Alex, are you Professor Bonkers?
Yes.
See, like, if you want to play an open world game, play Saints Row. Right.
Fair.
If you want to play a shooting game, there's like a dozen ones that are more fun than this. This just looks like too serious. I need more fun in my video games. That's why I shouted at Borderlands. Because I like... Like when I'm done shooting at stuff, I like being able to run up and punch it in the face with lightning fists.
That's fair.
Or the best was when I played co-op with, I think it was you, Rage, and I had the Berserker, the dude that punches stuff for his special. And I had the mod so they had explosive fists. And the secondary fire from the explosions killed you while you were, like, standing next to me.
You know, I don't think they can see the chat.
No, they probably don't have chat.
They probably either... Yeah, they probably...
Well, it's full screen, probably.
Yeah, they need two monitors to do it properly, and they probably don't.
Anyway, do we want to record?
Yeah. We probably should stop watching. Twitch.tv/TedMustard. Everybody follow. Given that Welcome to Comics bump. You guys want to talk about this week's show?
Yes. Yes, I really do.
This week's comic.
This week, we watched One Punch Man, the anime.
Yes, we did. So excited.
This was a manga. But we watched the anime, and we watched the first six episodes for this show, and David, Jen, and I all couldn't help ourselves and watched all 12 by mistake.
Well, I didn't watch them by mistake. Since we decided to do this episode,
right? Because the first week we did Kill la Kill, and we couldn't help ourselves from talking about One Punch Man, so we just fuck it, let's do One Punch Man, and here we are.
Well, so I watched the first six like we had agreed upon, then I watched the next six. And then I started reading the manga. So I've read pretty far in the manga now, too.
How many issues is the manga up to?
I don't know. The scan that I'm reading is not that great or well organized, so...
Okay.
I'll have to reread it for reals. But, you know, before it was a manga, it was actually like a web comic, I believe.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you should look at it. It's... very, very different.
So my understanding of how this, what happened was, it was a One Punch, or there was a web comic, and then it was really popular, and the manga artist, Yusuke Murata, decided to make manga adaptation. And then that was so popular that it became a TV show.
Okay.
So originally it was just a webcomic, and then it started appearing in Young Jump, or maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it started appearing in like a normal manga magazine, like Shonen Jump type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And then here we are. Okay.
Yep.
Jen?
Yes?
Go.
The show... Why is there not a season 2 yet? Why haven't I read the manga? I don't know why I haven't read the manga. That's really dumb. I really should. I love this. It was fun. It really, really was reminiscent of what is my second favorite anime of all time, Samurai Flamenco. And to sum it up, just as a side note, like, because I have to pitch Samurai Flamenco because I'm obnoxious like that, is Samurai Flamenco is basically the story of Moomin Rider. I mean, it's like a completely unrelated manga and or anime, and it's a different universe and everything, but it's a dude who's just a guy, and he has a bike and rides around and fights for justice because he's a hero.
Nice. I love the shit out of Moomin Rider.
So yes, I definitely... Part of the reason I think I like this is because it was so close to Samurai Flamenco, which I love, and I think that honestly you could take the plot of any episode from either show and just like switch them around and they'd fit in either. But this was fun. It was so... It solved my problem with Superman. Now, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that I fucking hate Superman. Because he's this all-powerful guy who is just a fucking goody-two-shoes, and it's too saccharine. It's too sweet. And when he's done all angsty, it's melodramatic. But Saitama fixes that issue, because you take the issue of the guy who is too powerful to do anything, but then he's bored with it. Like, he's kind of nihilistic in his boredom, and he's just a tad angsty, and he wants to do more, but he's an asshole too. Like he's a good person, but he doesn't have social skills, and I don't know, it's perfect. I love it.
And he's not a particularly good hero, right? Like, he defeats that, like, massive, massive guy in the first episode and accidentally, like, KOs him onto a city full of people.
He destroys, I think they say he destroys all of City B is destroyed.
Yeah. Like, good job, you defeated that thing. It probably would have destroyed all of City B and maybe some more if you hadn't stopped it, but in stopping it, you kind of killed a lot of people.
Well, like, so this actually comes up in a later episode of the show where he does something heroic and there's a lot of collateral damage, but it would have been much worse if he hadn't done anything. And then that becomes an issue. And, you know, I think that Saitama, you know, One Punch Man as a whole says a lot of it, or it tackles issues that would happen if superheroes were real in interesting ways. Like, the whole thing about him destroying the city accidentally because he's super powerful and the enemy's super powerful and people getting upset about it is something that happens in comics. And it kind of comes up in the Marvel cinematic universe now, it especially in like the secondary things. And I think that's going to be part of the issue in Captain America Civil War. But, you know, why do people, you know, the whole thing with superheroes, it's like there's a lot of problems that would occur with these kinds of people running around, and we see the people in this world react to Saitama negatively, even though he's the most powerful hero, and they love people like Moomin Rider, who is, you know, he's literally just a guy
with a bicycle.
He's not even like a competent fighter. No. But he does heroic things. Like, he puts himself on the line to do good things. Like, when I keep thinking ahead to, like, later episodes of the show, I'm trying to keep it to
well, the even, first even the first couple times that you see Moomin Rider, right? Like, he's riding and he gets the, what is it, a cat out of a tree? Or was it a balloon or something? I don't know. He gets something out of a tree for a little girl. And then you figure out, you're told that, like, part of being a C-class hero is you have to go out there and you have to actively try to find stuff to do to maintain your rank. And it's like, oh, Moomin Rider is Class C rank 1, not because he's actually a good, strong hero or a great fighter or anything like that. It's because he goes around and he just likes doing things that he sees as being justice. And that's just like, you know, using your bike to chase after a purse snatcher or like getting a cat out of a tree. And I just see him like doing that all day, every fucking day, and just raking in the points, doing just like the everyday little heroic things. Like, he is the polar opposite of Saitama in all the best ways. Like, Saitama could never be bothered with a fucking cat in a tree. But he will beat the shit out of anything with one punch. Whereas Moomin Rider will get the shit beat out of him with one punch. But do all of the little things spectacularly right. And it just makes Moomin Rider so much more lovable than Saitama for all the people living here.
I don't know. Well, for the people, yeah. The people I don't know about for the viewer. Because I think they're both really magnanimous people.
Yeah.
Because it's in episode 6, right, that we see, like, other heroes. Mm-hmm. And, like, Tank Top Tiger, for instance. We kind of find out that, like, he's a dick.
Yeah.
And Saitama's just really chill about it. Right, like he's getting attacked by a crazed ninja, and this guy's like railing on him, and he's just like, he's not big headed. He's very humble, or like the stuff he says to Genos is, it's wise, but he doesn't know it's wise. Like, it's just because he's really easygoing, and he doesn't want fame. And I think, like Moomin Rider, he's respectable in that way, that they both just want to do it to help people and for the fun of it.
Yeah. Like, he only registers because... Why does he register again?
Because he wants people to know who he is.
Yeah. He gets a little bit vain. He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't really care about... He doesn't even want to be, like... At first, he doesn't want to be Class S Rank 1. Like, and then even once he figures it out, he's like, oh, whatever. You're all just a bunch of fucking dickbags. Like... By the end of the first season, he doesn't give a shit. He just wants people to know who he is. He doesn't care what rank he is on that scale. He just wants people to, like, recognize him as he walks down the street.
Well, that's kind of what got him out of his apartment, one of the episodes. Because a bunch of bald people hijacked a bunch of...
Yeah, the Paradisers.
Yeah, the Paradisers hijacked the robo-suits, and they're all bald, so he's running out there because he doesn't want them to tarnish his name.
Yeah, you're like, oh, my motherfucker stole my look. Yeah, and then after that he goes and does the hero test because he realizes that at that point when he goes to fight them, the Hammerhead and the Paradisers are more recognizable than he is, which is bullshit. Like, straight up, that is bullshit.
It is such a weird universe where he is killing, like, 7-story tall dudes with one punch, and yet no one notices because he's not a registered hero.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I guess everyone's dead, and that's why they're not watching.
Well, I think a lot of the people
is dead, so...
I think a lot of the citizens assume that the Heroes Association has taken care of it in some way, and so they don't really, like... Because, I mean, if you look at why... Like, My Mask is popular, it's because he's, like, good-looking. And that's why Genos is getting popular, too, right? They're just, like, celebrities, and then their job is to be superheroes. So I don't think it's necessarily their... For a lot of heroes, it's not necessarily their heroic prowess that gets them recognition. It's often, like, a combination of the two. And Saitama is so powerful... that people don't believe that he is really doing the things that he's doing, right? Does that come up in episode 6 where they say he's a cheater, or is that later?
I think that's later.
That's later. Okay. I think that's episode 7.
Sorry, I'm skipping ahead.
7, yeah.
Something like that.
Sorry, I'm skipping ahead.
That's okay. I'm sure we're going to end up having to we're going to put little spoilers in here.
It's yeah.
Gonna end up happening. Sorry, Alex.
Yeah.
Aw.
I'm just...
Well, Alex, what did you think about this anime?
Well, I was about to say, I don't mean any offense to you three, but you guys were looking at this way deeper than I was, because I was just enjoying the absolute absurdity of it all.
Well, I think...
The first episode, he just punches a guy that's made of pollution and explodes him. I mean, that was hilarious. I mean... I don't really think that deep of this stuff. You guys are talking about a recognition and how he's bored and all that. I'm just laughing at the absurdity. And it's all the little details too, like when that bike rider, Moomin Rider, is that his name?
Yeah.
When he goes up against the Paradisers, he rides up on his bike, puts the kickstands down, and then locks it, and then goes into his fighting stance. It's just those little extra like 5 seconds of just him
pulling out his key and locking it so no one takes his bike.
He says he's a responsible bike owner.
Yeah. It's all those little things. And he wears his helmet.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes you think that's the only bike that he owns.
Yeah. So like, actually.
Didn't even think about that. So
like, he's got to take care of it. I mean, I know he's going to fight for justice and everything, but that's like his bike, which is kind of his thing. And if it gets stolen or jacked or whatever, then there's no more Moomin Rider. So he needs to protect it.
Oh my god, I hadn't even thought of that. That's amazing.
And it's like just a regular bike. It's not even like a mountain bike or anything like that. It's just like a normal commute bike with a little basket and stuff.
Yeah, the basket is a nice touch.
What's so funny about him is like, he's just this fucking dweeb, right? Like, he's just a dweeb on a bike.
Yeah. But he's a dweeb for justice.
Yeah. Oh my god, can we talk about Saitama's workout?
Yes, please.
Because go ahead. Saitama maintains that he is a normal dude who went bald. But I do not believe this.
Well, he worked out so hard that he went bald.
I do not believe this, because it doesn't...
Neither did Janus.
No, no one does, I think rightfully so. But I think that's like some of the humor here, too. It's like, he's just like, no, I do a normal workout like anyone else would, and it's just like a... it's a high intensity.
100 sit-ups, 100 this, 100 that, but it's not like... It's not anything I can't imagine like Arnold Schwarzenegger doing.
Yeah, and dude, when I was I rode competitively in my freshman year of college, and this is not like 10 kilometers is a bit much, but it's like not that far out of what we might do on a like Saturday morning workout. Like, this is normal person shit, and I can tell you I cannot kill anything in one punch.
Well, you have all your hair still, so that's the difference.
That's true. I did not train so hard that all my hair fell out.
What have you tried doing consecutive normal punches?
I've tried those too. They don't do much, honestly.
I like that's his special move.
Yes, and it's delivered so deadpan. He just like, he doesn't yell it, he just says it.
Yeah, and his battle cry is Soka. Like, okay. That's like his battle cry, like in the middle of the fight when like the other guy is who is it? Carnage Kabuto, the final House of Evolution guy.
Yeah.
Is like giving his big speech and Saitama's just okay. And doesn't freak out until he realizes, oh shit, I'm gonna miss the farmer's market.
Yeah, he's worried he's gonna miss the sale on food.
Yeah.
His coupon clippings. Oh my god. Can I just say my very favorite part of this show is the faces Saitama makes. Like, in our notes, I included a bunch of screen caps, and it's just like, he always has this blank expression, and I just crack up every time. Which means I'm actually laughing through, like, the majority of each episode. But he just makes these faces that are always like, what the fuck? Huh? You know, and I don't know, there's something so universal about the look he always has on his face.
I think that him being bald is maybe a strategic thing, because it almost looks like a stick figure head sometimes, just colored in. So, like, it almost looks like the stick figure that you could have drawn when you were 5. So then a part of you is like, I've been drawing Saitama for the last 25 years. Just skinny as fuck. And this is my stick figure, buff as hell, finally.
Yeah.
What I really appreciate about this show is how when the action starts, the quality of the animation goes up exponentially.
Well, even the non-action parts, it's really well drawn.
Yeah. No, it's a well-drawn one. I just like how, like, Saitama goes from that face to, like, a real face during a fight.
Like his Super Saiyan face.
Yeah.
When he gets serious. You know,
the fight animation actually does, like, a really weird thing that I noticed, and it's he goes from, like, his egghead face to, like, Super Saiyan, and then when they're fighting, the action gets so intense at points where it's just, like, I mean, it's a professionally animated drawing, but it looks like it's done in crayon. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
there's these lines.
I've recognized that in other animes too. Like there's in Naruto, there's instances in big fights where it kind of does that, and I do like that actually. It kind of the animation kind of gets soft, right?
Yeah. Here, you know how when you take like just normal cheap printer paper and it's kind of rough, and you go over it with like a cheap crayon, like not even Crayola brand, but the off brand. And it kind of has that weird texture to it. It's not a smooth color. Like, their line work is done that way. It's like it just disintegrates into the fight scene. And then, so it would always go from, like, egghead to, like, super serious drawing. And then, like, a snippet of crayon back to super serious and then egghead again. And I thought that was really cool. I don't know. Am I making... Am I the only one who noticed?
Yeah, you're making sense. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I was just like, am I even explaining this?
So what was your guys' favorite fight in the first six episodes?
Oh, in the first six episodes. So I'll say that it's his fight with Speedo Sonic, or Speed of Sound Sonic.
Redundant
the ending name. Of that fight is amazing. I remember the first time I watched that, I like almost fell out of my chair laughing. Something about a guy getting punched in the dick is just... really satisfying.
Well, he didn't even punch. Did he just lift his fist and Sonic landed on it?
Yeah.
And that still like murdered him.
Well,
and especially for a character like Sonic, who like prides himself on being the sadist. Like,
yeah,
it's great to see that turn back around on him.
But I'd say the ending of that fight was hilarious. It's not even really a fight, you know. But I think I still am really impressed by the sparring, the two of them, Genos and Saitama sparring.
Oh yeah.
In the episode 5, that's just a really cool anime fight, like in general. And you know, it's seeing them kind of cut loose a little bit. Well, you see Genos cutting loose and going balls out, and Saitama's like, "Okay, let's go get Udon now. I win."
See, I think the show needs Genos, because like that scene, it's a great action scene, but like Genos, the animators do a really good job of making him look badass as all hell. Like all the stuff that he does is cool as shit, right? Like the rocket punches, the like flying around. Genos is a really cool cyborg.
Yeah.
Except he is like nothing compared to Saitama. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, he does all of this, and he says, "Now, Master, we had a deal. You weren't going to hold back." And then, like, within 5 seconds, Saitama, like, punches a mountain away using the wind from his fist behind Genos.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, no, you want me to hold back, Genos. Like, it's cute. It's cute. Go have fun. Let go, Genos. You can do whatever you need to do to me to feel better. But no, I am never going to go full bore on you, because you would die in, like, a second. Because if you just had Saitama walking around punching random villains in one punch, like, I don't know if that would be engaging. But because he does like these little sparring things with Genos, because you see Genos try so hard and you see Genos look so cool, that when Saitama comes in and does a punch, all of that awesomeness kind of gets transferred to Saitama in your mind. You're like, oh, okay, that's how awesome Saitama is.
Well, and then
it's a nice little comparison of Genos just blowing shit out, turning into this giant cannon, launching missiles, and then Saitama's like, "Hey," and then just I can murder you anytime.
Yeah, like it's nothing.
Yeah,
I guess I think my favorite fight was the King of Beasts and the other guys and the mole man,
Brown Dragon,
Ground Dragon. That's what it is. Oh my god, okay, you said you almost fell out of your chair when Speed of Sound Sonic got hit in the nuts. I yeah. Almost fell out of my chair when, like, it's the tunneling scene and you just come up on Saitama's face.
Yeah, I love that shot.
I almost fucking lose it.
That face was creepy. Oh, that was hilarious.
But that's just his dead egghead face, because he's just so fucking bored. It's like he's bored and annoyed at the fact that he has to go underground to do this. Like, what, you think you're doing some special move? Come on, fuck on. No, you're not. What about you, Jen? What was your favorite fight?
It had to be like the, was it king of the, what was it, the subterranean dudes where he's dreaming?
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
So, consecutive normal punches. That just, oh my god. That fucking killed me.
And it's a fantastically done action scene.
Yes. It was just so, I don't know, like, I had to pause the video because I was laughing so hard, and it was just a fun fight, and then, like, he wakes up and he's like, aw, shit. And I love that.
Like, he's so let down by the fact that that awesome fight, even though he was winning handily, but it just probably felt awesome, and it wasn't real.
Yeah, because he's just so disappointed any time it takes one punch to kill something.
A full scale invasion would do him well, because yeah, every single dude would take one punch.
Yeah,
but there's so many of them. At least he would, like, he can't take out the entire army of like subterranean dudes with one punch. He has to use multiple punches to take out all of them. And even that jump in difficulty, like, there's no jump in difficulty. He just has to punch more. That is something he craves.
Well, it is more interesting. Oh, and I think in that fight, we saw that his kicks do, like, almost nothing. And I really appreciate that. Because, like, his kicks don't do shit. Because he's one punch man. He's not one kick man. Maybe he should just, like, start only kicking things. That would alleviate his boredom.
I'm sure there's a hero in the association who specializes in kicking.
Probably.
I want to see that fight. That's the mirror match right there.
Oh, man. That's, like, ultimate anime showdown right there.
Yep.
You know, going back to the absurdity that Alex mentioned earlier, I think that really comes through in the villains, too. There are villains similar to Saitama in that, you know, he just worked out really hard and he became absurdly strong. But there's, like, the crab guy at the beginning who turned into a crab monster because he ate a lot of crab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just great. I think that, what's great, you know, it's great that they just kind of do whatever the fuck they want as far as it goes to like, monsters. You know, like, there's the Kombu monster that in episode 6 too, you know. It's just they just pick something and take it to the extreme, and then that's the bad guy.
It kind of creeped me out that he ate the seaweed.
Yeah.
That was
gross.
It's a little creepy. Mostly because the thing underneath the seaweed looked kind of human. So, like, if it was just like a monster, like a dinosaur, I'd get eating the dinosaur. But that just seemed like it was, like, a little girl with, like, a seaweed mutation. And you just ate the hair. No. That weirded me out. But I did like that episode, how they talked about, like, City Z, where Saitama lives. Nobody else lives. Because there's so many monsters that go there. And it makes me, like, hopeful that there's some explanation. Like, that he has this, like, monster gravitational pull to him. Or... I have no idea, like, but there has to be a correlation with him living there and that being the monster hot zone. And it might just be, like, self-fulfilling prophecy, because I guess the monsters did get together and say that that was the cool monster meeting place. So it's like a rumor on both sides. Maybe that's all there is to it.
I like it because it just seems, from what I saw, that it's just normal to him. Like, everyone else bailed out because they're going to get murdered by those monsters. But for him, it's just his neighborhood.
Yeah.
He's so strong, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going home after he picks up his groceries.
Yeah. It's like nothing for him. So if you like these 6 episodes, keep watching more, because then you'll get to see Puri Puri Prisoner.
Oh, he's the best.
He's excellent. My favorite.
He's still my favorite, even after reading the manga and meeting other heroes and villains. He's still my favorite character on the show. The manga does have a little bit more than the anime. It has these little side stories every once in a while. And there's one chapter where it's, where Speed of Sound first gets to prison, and he meets, Puri Puri Prisoner in prison. and explains why, even though he's a superhero, he's in prison. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I'll have to read the manga.
It's pretty hilarious.
David, have you been on our Facebook page?
I have, yes.
I posted screen caps of Angel Style.
Yeah, I did. There's actually
my wallpaper right now.
there's in a little bit of a spoiler in episode 12. I don't know if he must do it in the episode 2, but he also does it in the manga where he has a move called Angel Dash.
Yeah.
Which is just him running when he's naked.
Yeah, just
but he's not faster.
No, he's not.
It's
just Angel Dash.
I want to do that. My run, just like make up a move name for it, but it's just running. It's not even faster running. This show is just so fucking weird. Like, I want to actually talk about the webcomic for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Just because I looked at it, and what was amazing to me is, I don't know if it's meant to be highly stylized or if it was a webcomic in, like, you know, the truest of forms, where the guy is a complete non-professional. It looks like a child drew it. And it's just mind-boggling. And all I know is, like, it's made by a dude named One. But, like, where the fuck did he get this idea? And like, did he just start drawing it, and then it got popular enough that it got picked up and remade with a more, like, traditional artist? Or...
Yes, I believe that's what happened.
Okay. Like, because it's just... It seems to me so out there that something, like, so... rough in its design would get picked up. But, I mean, I guess it just goes to show how creative it is, right? Because... It was big enough that even though the art's really, really rough, they even offered to, like, redo the art and turn it into a comic and a show and everything. It just, I don't know, this guy's gotta be living the dream.
I mean, the way you're describing it, it kinda sounds like Axe Cop.
But
Axe Cop was well done to start.
Yeah,
but then they kinda redid it again.
But it was with the same artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who originally did Axe Cop is drawing the comic.
Yeah.
I think it's published by Dark Horse, right?
Yes, it is. The thing about Axe Cop, which is actually kind of interesting related to this, is that Axe Cop was a guy who was working with, like, a 6-year-old child.
Oh, yeah, it was right? His, like, younger brother.
Yeah.
He was just following him around.
Or he would ask, like, his brother to tell him a story.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of the creative force and what... Part of what makes Axe Cop so weird and unique is that it comes from the mind of a small kid. But how? One Punch Man, where the fuck did that come from? Like, it just boggles my mind that someone came up with something so goofy that worked so elegantly.
It comes from a mind like Alex. As somebody who has lunch with Alex, he'll come to you with, what if this, what if that?
I think you should make a comic.
I think it comes from something. I've been telling Alex for years that he needs to learn how to draw.
I've been thinking about rounding those up and doing something with them, but
you should do something. I will help you. I will help you edit it.
See, the difference between me and the One Punch Man guy is he can take it places. I just get this flash of, hey, and then I forget about it.
See, but this thing, like, One Punch Man, like, it seems like he had the idea for the character, and then the first 4 or 5 issues, or 5 episodes, are just Saitama walking around beating stuff up, and everything just kind of builds, almost, it seems, accidentally. Because he takes the hero test and all, but for the first 4 episodes, there's no mention of a hero association, class this, class that. There's nothing. Like, that comes out of nowhere. And I get, like, Saitama being an exile, but Genos is like, yeah, sure, you've never heard of this? Come on, what are you doing?
Well, I think if you have a great concept, you know, passable art will take it places.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, as it can be like, that's what I was saying. Like, you can just kind of start with a basic idea and build on it from there. Like, the Lord of the Rings, the first book, The Fellowship of the Ring, the first, like, half of that book is terrible. It's just hobbits walking around eating dinner at each other's houses. It is horrendously written. Because, and Tolkien has said this, he started writing the books, he didn't have a story. He didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. He just wanted to create a world where his characters could speak languages that he invented. Like, this whole thing with, like, the ring and taking it to Mordor and Mount Doom and all of this stuff, like, that came later. First half of the first book is just going around eating dinner in the Shire and having tea. It's boring as hell. And birthday parties, right? And you can start a thing that way and then just kind of build on it from there. And like you're saying, you know, I just kind of get, you know, like a flash of what if this, what if that. Like, that's fine. Episode 2, then episode 3. You know, like, what if there was a seaweed monster? What if there were lazy people called Paradisers? What if there was just a guy on a bicycle who wanted to be a hero?
Or the guy who has a golden poop on top of his building.
Yeah.
Dude, that was a sweet penthouse.
Yeah.
You know, that actually brings up, like, a really good point. Because I was, you're saying that, I'm thinking, but Tolkien had an editor. Why didn't his editor, like, cut that? And then I realized, you know, that probably is a huge thing about the webcomic. Webcomics are self-edited. You don't have anyone but your audience or maybe some friends being like, dude, your ideas here suck, or, you know, they don't make sense. Change them. So it gives you the license to do whatever the hell you want. And it can lead to, like, some real hardcore randomness.
Well, because would this have been picked up if he had that kind of limitation?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't think it would have been.
Yeah, because didn't someone... Where is One Punch Man being streamed? Is it Daisuke?
Yeah, I watched it on
that's where I watch it.
Yeah, didn't Crunchyroll, like, pass over it? I heard someone passed over One Punch Man. That's what I heard.
I know it's not on Netflix. It is on Hulu, and it is on Daisuke.
It's not on Crunchyroll, and it's not a Funimation property.
I heard, I might be wrong, but I heard somewhere that it got passed over until Daisuke picked it up. And that's kind of what I was thinking was, yeah, would an editor let this go that far? And would we get, like, kind of this level of awesomeness?
Well, I don't know when that happened. Because I could see these shows, like, watching the first 4 episodes and being like, this show is going nowhere. It's just Monster of the Week, and he's killing them all with one punch, and it's boring. But then as you keep going with the Hero Association and him wanting to get up in class ranks, like, then there's a week-to-week thing to keep watching for. But yeah, these first 4 episodes are just day-to-day. And even the first 3, it's just him and Genos. Like, you don't even get the sense that there's a bigger world with more heroes out there until episode 4, when you meet Moomin Rider and Speed of Sound Sonic, and, like, you don't get the sense that there's other people out there who could be heroes, or who could be characters who last more than an episode or two. So, I mean, I could see them passing on it then, but I don't know how far along the show it was when that happened.
It's kind of weird, because the plot is very much adrift in this show. And it works. Because I think... I don't know if a super serious connected plot would have worked very well. Monster of the Week is a good way to go when you have a man with an absurd power.
Yeah, I think that's the part of it. It's just the absurdity of the world and of Saitama and everything.
So they kind of have, in the manga, it kind of starts to have a cohesive story, but it doesn't really focus on Saitama too much. At least as far as I've gotten, there's a guy that the Superhero Association are kind of worried about, and so, because he keeps defeating different heroes, but Saitama does not know that this is going on, or he just doesn't care. So other things happen to Saitama, like he's doing other hero stuff, and then the like other S-class heroes are fighting this guy who's like super strong, but he hasn't met up with Saitama yet. Instead, Saitama's like he's a B-class hero at this point in the manga, and so he gets assigned B-class level assignments. Like one of them, some executive in the Hero Association, his daughter loses her cat, and the cat is in City Z. And so Saitama gets assigned to escort the girl through City Z to find the cat. while the other super, like the other like S-class heroes are worried about this hero killer guy.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to, right? I mean, you can't. It's the premise of the show makes it literally impossible for any monster to last more than the monster of the week, right? Because
right.
As soon as they meet Saitama, the fight's over. And, I mean, you can show, like, the build-up to it. You can show the monster fighting other heroes and doing other things with other people that aren't Saitama. But as soon as Saitama meets the enemy, that episode is over. That monster is done, and it's monster of the week. So, I mean, it is a really, really ballsy premise. Because there's no continuing villain. There can't be. And I can tell you, after watching all 12 episodes, there's no continuing villain. At the end of season one, I have no idea what's going to happen in season two, because there's no big bad. there's nothing to carry over in terms of difficulty. The only thing that's still there is the wanting to come up in the ranks and the Hero Association. Like, that's kind of it.
Well, there's little hints that there's more going on. Like, one of the other S-class heroes tells Genos that Metal Knight is not, or is his enemy, you know, and that, you know, that's not resolved. It just kind of, that's the end of the episode. So, you know, they're planting the seeds for more. But like you said, Andy, once Saitama becomes involved in whatever the conflict is, that's the, you know, problem solved.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not even the Superman problem, right? The Superman problem, he'll beat somebody, but he doesn't kill the person he beats. Superman likes to defeat people and send them to prison. So Thomas straight up murders the shit out of everyone.
But like, he always fights monsters. It's yeah. not...
So like, Superman doesn't always fight monsters. He'll fight regular dudes. But even then, like... Or even, like the Goku is a similar kind of character. Goku always wins. He'll lose, go train... And then come back and win, right? But at least there's 3 episodes of action, and then 10 episodes of him lifting weights, and 20 episodes of him shouting. But at least there's a villain that can last more than a week at a time there.
Well, and there's tension. There is tension in that show, because there are instances where Goku isn't the one who defeats the monster. Sometimes it's one of the other heroes, like Gohan or somebody. But with Saitama, it's never Krillin. He's always the bridesmaid.
It's Yamcha.
No, Yamcha's the worst.
Krillin Yamcha. At least has that blade thing that can cut stuff.
And Krillin is not like a complete fucking pushover like Yamcha is. Like Yamcha is the guy. He's like the entourage. Like, Goku, Krillin, Vegeta, Trunks, all those guys are, like, a band, and then Yamcha's, like, their groupie.
That is a very apt description.
He sucks. Like, even Tien, the three-eyed guy, there's that episode where he pins Cell down so everybody else can, like, escape. But remember when they're fighting those little pod people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And they just fucking... Yamcha gets his ass kicked by those little green things. He's fucking sad.
Yamcha's
I don't know what Bulma ever saw in that guy.
Yamcha's job was to go around the world and find the Dragon Balls when everybody else was dead. That was like his sole job.
Yeah.
was to revive other people. Because they knew he wouldn't be in the fight.
The thing
that was more like Bulma's job.
And yeah, Yamcha, like, he looks cool, right? He's like got these scars and he's like this... You know, he looks like he's been in a couple fights, and he has. He just, like, loses them all because he sucks.
Nowhere near Saitama's level. Shit.
No, Saitama's biggest problem is that he's worried that he's going to end up naked again.
Yeah. So, you guys want to rate this?
Sure. Well, I want to make, like, drop no, one thing. So, huh?
What? Go ahead.
There's this YouTube channel called the PBS Idea Channel. And they kind of do philosophy stuff. And there was an episode about One Punch Man. We didn't really cover the stuff that's covered in that episode. So, you know, check that out. PBS Idea Channel on YouTube. They have a really good episode about One Punch Man. So
What kind of philosophical stuff did they bring up? We don't have to go into it, but what kind of stuff was it?
I don't really remember. I watched it like a month ago.
Okay.
But like the whole channel is about different kind of pop culture and philosophy kind of mixed together. It's pretty interesting. I think you would like it, Andy, actually.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
And the One Punch Man episode is pretty good, and they talk about why the guy who does the show talks about why he thinks One Punch Man is really popular and goes into like a lot of interesting points about it. But they do all kinds of different pop culture stuff. It's a good channel.
Yeah, I'm all down to watch that. Shit, I know what I'm doing tomorrow at work.
It's one of those things where if you watch one episode, you'll start watching all of them, and before you know it, you've wasted your whole day watching these 15-minute videos.
I'm down. That's pretty great. That's my work day.
No, I'm just saying. I want you to know what you're getting into. It's pretty great, though.
Thanks. Okay. Let's rate it.
All right.
Go ahead. All right. David, you go first.
Well, I'm going to give it a 5 because I fucking love this. I used to say this in a hyperbolic way. I would say, is hyperbolic actually a word? It is, right?
Yeah. A hyperbolic chamber.
Well, not... No, that's hyperbaric chamber you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
I originally was using hyperbole when I would say that One Punch Man is my favorite anime, but I genuinely think it might be my favorite anime now.
Hyperbolic, of or related to a hyperbola.
So it's not...
Oh, secondary, of language, exaggerated, hyperbolical.
Well, anyways...
Yeah, it's the correct word.
So... You know, the show is absurd, it's funny, it's unlike anything I've ever seen in any media, it's really well drawn, it's nearly the perfect television show for me. I just love I don't have anything bad to say about the show. I can't think of a bad thing to say about it. Maybe I wish there were more than 12 episodes. That's the worst I can say.
All right.
So Rachel, 5.
Alex?
What? I'd give it a 4.5. I thoroughly do enjoy it. And the reason I enjoy it are kind of those little moments that kind of jump at you without any warning. Like Moomin Rider, when he runs up to the Paradisers. He locks his bike and carefully sets it down before he goes and gets curb stomped. And in the same episode, the Paradisers go and try and destroy that dude's skyrise. Only one of his henchmen read the map wrong, so they blew up the wrong building.
Yes.
Or even the origin story where he still has his hair. The reason the crab man wants to kill this kid is because the kid drew nipples on him while the crab guy was sleeping.
Yeah.
It's just those stupid little details that make it. That make the world.
Shit.
Yeah. And when he says big chin, he means big chin. Like,
he has whole... an ass on his face.
Yeah. And it's like you can tell immediately, okay, that's the kid. That's him. It's just those little details. Like the fight against Kabuto. What's his name? Carnage Kabuto. Yeah. It's like he's just getting punched around. He doesn't care. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Then he freaks out because he's going to miss the sale. and then he punches him, explodes him, and then he and Janice literally run back to town. Those little details just made it for me. I thoroughly enjoyed those little things.
Yeah, all the cute little things that you can't help but laugh with.
Yeah.
All right, Jen?
I'll call it a 5. I really enjoyed it. It was thoroughly entertaining. This show's hilarious, and I think it has a really good sense of balance with, like, the absurdity, and then giving you time to pause and laugh about it, and then a bit of action, and then more absurdity. And Saitama's face is just amazing the whole way through. It's like... he's having the same reaction. It's the audience half the time. This would definitely go in like my top 10 favorite animes if it had a more solid storyline. But as it stands, it doesn't quite make that list just because I haven't seen enough. But maybe after a couple more seasons, it will. So yeah, 5.
All right. I'm going to give the first 6 episodes a 4. Not particularly sure why. I think just because it takes a while for it to find a footing beyond Monster of the Week, which is fine. I mean, you need to kind of build stuff up. But episodes 7 to 12 are like a 5 plus. They are ridiculously fun and fantastic to watch. Because all those little moments are still there, and there's a decent amount of build-up of the world that happens, and you get to see other heroes, and they get to come around, and you get to see Saitama interact with other people, and have people say that it's like somebody put a god in the body of this man, but he scores like a 0 on his written test. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah, and Puri Puri Prisoner and some of the other heroes are pretty good. Mostly what I think I really appreciate is that the more you watch this show, the more you realize that this is probably like, getting to draw this is probably the animator's dream come true. Because you can do whatever you want in a fight. The villain can do literally anything, and it will not challenge the fact that the premise of the show holds, right? Like, No matter how crazy powerful, no matter how cool of a thing you make the villain do, no matter how over the top it looks or is, or how much color or flashy or whatever effect you put on it, no matter what you do to that villain, you will not break the show. And that just means, like, that's got to be candy to the ears of a good animator. Because if you watch the last episode, holy shit, the villain in episode 12 is the most over the top thing I have ever seen. In a fight scene for an anime. It's ridiculous as hell. And it can only happen in this show where that happens and fucking Saitama wins and you don't question it. Like this dude in a yellow jumpsuit. I'm going to give it a 5 just because it's already done great hyperbolic things. I don't know, I just want to use the word hyperbolic. And it's only been the first season. So yeah, I'm excited to see more. But yeah, if you liked these first 6 episodes, definitely go watch the other 6, because they're awesome. Better than these 6. Puri Puri Prisoner. That's it for this week. Next week we're going to read Assassination Classroom, the first volume, which collects chapters 1 to 7. So yeah, next week, Assassination Classroom by Yusei Matsui. And this show, just like every show, is brought to you by Patreon. Go become a patron today, patreon.com/welcometocomics. All right. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.